I have a question. Is there really such a thing as a recovery after a divorce? You tell me. Well, let's get intentional about this topic of divorce recovery today. And as we listen to your stories, and I give you five things that I've witnessed and seen and worked with people who have been going through divorce, right here from the Intentional Living Center Live. Come on in. The doors are open. We're going to have a talk today, a little discussion and a little dialogue, and learn together as we think about this thing that's called divorce recovery. Many churches have a program of divorce recovery. Many have been through divorce, of course, and been through this recovery process. And I guess the question I'd ask you as we think about living intentionally, and boy, you need to be intentional during this kind of a tearing of flesh and a rebuilding of your life and going through all of the drama associated with a divorce, is either what's been holding you back, where did you get stuck in that process, or what have you learned in this process and growing spiritually? I really want to be helpful to you and to others today as we think about divorce recovery. And the lines indicate this is a big topic. The lines are jammed. 888-888-1717 is my number. You know, divorce represents, even the word divorce brings emotion, doesn't it? It's an ending and a beginning. Ending of something, a beginning of something else. Often reflecting a tearing of flesh and, of course, tearing of the intimacy and the commitments that were made in marriage and the impact on kids. And every story is slightly different, but we see the results in the lives of many people. I can remember, you know, 20 years ago when I do a conference, we'd ask how many are divorced and remarried, and it would be, you know, a few here and there. Now in our conferences, it can be a, you know, sizable number. And I know it's affected the church. It's interesting research we find in terms of divorce, that people who are committed to Christ and are active together in attending church have a lower divorce rate. You know, we've said over the years that there's nothing different between inside and outside the church. Well, what is different is when people are truly committed to Christ and active in their faith, there tends to be a lower divorce rate. And so there's one thing to remember. If you're married, make sure that you guys are on the same page spiritually and growing spiritually and committed spiritually to the same thing, because there's evidence to show that's a very positive thing in making your marriage work long term. So there's not going to be a divorce or another divorce in your life. 888-888-1717 is the number. I want to get right to your calls. I want to hear your story. Where did you get stuck? What have you learned? And I want to share with you five things that I've seen in my work with people. When you get intentional in these five things, toward emotional and relational healing and spiritual healing in your life, that can make a difference. And all of this we'll be sharing online as well. All right, 888-888-1717.
Hello, Brother Randy. This is Terry, and I have recently moved to Odessa, Texas, and am the new minister to families with children. I absolutely love holding the babies, teaching the Bible stories, and doing what God has called me to do. I had a marriage that I thought was wonderful, four children, and we were in a wonderful ministry that God called us to, and my ex chose to pursue other men and pursue prescription pills. It has been a long, hard battle. She moved them back to Oklahoma, and it's been very hard for me to see my children. So I have intentionally loved on my children and spent time with them when I can, and the family is broken. But I have intentionally pursued healing through celebrate recovery for abandonment and loneliness issues, and being a minister to children for all these years, it's been very hard to not hold my own children. But God has provided grace and peace, and so I'm pursuing the healing that I need. But I thank you for your lesson and your message on leaning in, because I'm certainly leaning in to God's healing today. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, there's nothing fair about divorce. There's scars. No one gets out of this clean. And it's painful, and you know. And here to offer grace and hope today that God loves you, and as you go through this process of recovering, maybe you can help others from what you've learned, and maybe a warning to someone in their marriage today, make that marriage work. You know, that's our passion here at Intentional Living. If you've got a marriage, make that marriage work. Honor God. Makes a difference. Okay, let's go. We got caller standing by. Greg is first. Welcome to the program, Craig.
How you doing, Randy?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this today? What's your story?
Well, my comment is divorce is very, very painful. And my father had five kids and went through a divorce with my mother back in the 60s. And he's deceased now. I'm not going to bore you with that, but it was very, very emotional for us five biological kids to get through it. And even today, you know, in our 60s and my other brother's 67, it's been a huge, huge problem for years. Yeah. But now it seems like, Randy, it's rolling over to my son. Just to give you a little background, I divorced his mother in the 80s. I did call you back in the 80s when I was in Arizona talking about ADD, and I might be ADDA. You might remember that, but maybe you don't. But anyway, my son, back in New York, him and I had a little bit of an argument, and the argument was this. He's 35 years old now. He said, Dad, are you going to be back from Arizona in the hospital for when Katie delivers in March? And he caught me off guard. And I said, well, yeah, I think so. He goes, well, what do you mean you think so? I said, well, I'm going to be in Arizona, and I just got married, and we're driving cross-country in the car, and then we're coming back. And, you know, he kind of caught me off guard. The stock answer would have been, yes, Greg, I wouldn't miss it in the world. You're my only son. That's going to be my granddaughter. I'm going to be grandpa, and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, it didn't go that way. He got really upset. And I was shocked. The stuff that he said, I don't respect you. I only came to your 60th birthday party because Katie wanted me to. I made that collage of all the pictures that we did stuff throughout, you know, my 35 years, you know, because Katie wanted me to, his wife. And, you know, he was just bringing up the past. Mm. And so, anyway, I'll read this short letter back to you if you got a little bit of time. Dear Greg, I hope this letter finds you well. This was January 20th of this year. Please forgive me for anything that I have done wrong or said. Sometimes all of us say and do things we don't mean, okay, or do. It proves that we're all human in an imperfect world that was supposed to be made perfect. I'm really heartbroken that I did not see you or my daughter-in-law at Christmas for the New Year's. Nana and I, my wife, came over on Tuesday afternoon to drop off Christmas gifts, but I didn't want to leave them at the door. You weren't home. I really was hoping we could have connected then, and I wanted to talk to you and Katie in person. As you know now, I gave the gifts to a friend of mine, Glenda, as I did not want to leave them out in front. I hope you like them, especially the laugh out loud dog.
Hey, Greg, I'm going to have to pull this in. I have to pull this together. Right. I got people
anyway,
lined up to talk.
All right, at the end, I just said I'm proud of you and happy. And, you know, when you were born, I was passing out cigars to my friends. Now, 35 years later, okay, you're having your first daughter. Every baby is a true blessing from above. And I said, Greg, you know, let's move on, bury the hatchet, and let's try to move on and only look at the good times, and let's try to move forward in time for a better future.
Mm. And what's come of this?
Randy,
what's come of it, Greg?
Issues. What's that?
What's come of it? Are you guys able to restore this as a result of, I'm assuming this is because of the divorce that you've been through. What is the nature of your relationship today?
Well, the nature of my relationship was always good with my son. With his mother, it wasn't. She held him, and this is one thing I want to get across to any mother that has kids and the father's paying child support. The worst thing that a mother could do is to hold the kids ransom to say pay or you don't see, or to interfere with the court order. Like every other Christmas Eve, I was supposed to see my son every year, or 2 weeks in the summer. I never got him. It wasn't because I wasn't paying. It's just it was an inconvenience for her.
Mm. All right. Hey, Greg, I'm sorry, man. I got to move on. I got people standing at the door knocking here that want to share as well, and I want to get to those calls. So appreciate your call, and God bless you. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Some of you have been through divorce. You are children of divorce, and you know the impact that's had on you. And you have children, some of you, and you've been through divorce, and you know you're feeling guilty and you're trying to and don't feel guilty from the standpoint of making you a bad parent. Allow those feelings of guilt to drive you to be an intentional parent. Because now more than ever, you have to stand up and be the parent that those kids need in their life. But divorce hurts, there's no question. Some of you could stand here with tears. Some of you did share with me and with Donna out in the lobby today how you've been hurt through divorce and you're going through difficult times. And some of you, I know some of you right today are in this room on the verge of leaving one another. You've had it. Challenge you to just to take the cost thing into mind. It's a costly thing. Boy, it is. You know, there's a cost to everything. A cost to stay married. There's a cost to divorce. And the question is, what's the cost? And how do we honor Christ? So God bless you. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the program, my friend. Go right ahead. What's your comment today?
Hey, Randy. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Today, I just wanted to share very quickly my story through divorce with my wife. When I was engaged with my wife, I cheated on her a few times, and then I did not tell her about her, and I married her on false pretense. Mm-hmm. And after being married, I tried to cheat on her again, and essentially that led to the divorce, and we were both Christian. Being honest, she was Christian, I wasn't. And the fact that you can call yourself Christian and go to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car.
Right.
So my struggle with it was to find forgiveness for the longest time, because after the divorce happened, it's painful, as you say. Any divorce would be painful. And I could not bring to get forgiveness, because I was the party that wronged the other one. It was my fault that I broke her heart. I'm not pointing anything at her. You know, this is all just about me and from my perspective, the things that happened. And essentially, it took me months and months and months. And when the divorce happened, like, that was when God came to me and God started speaking to me. And the part that broke my heart more than anything was the fact that God spoke to me and ministered me and told me that even though I was the one to mess it up, that he loved me just as much as he loved her.
Right.
And that brought me to my knees in prayer, because that's the kind of God that we serve. And after that, my heart changed and I wanted to find him. So I took up ownership of every mistake that I had made in the marriage, every finger that I pointed at her, every failure to take responsibility that I had. And I went to her and I called her after we were going through the divorce, and I would call to apologize every time and to tell her, you know, you were right about this. I was wrong about this. And throughout that process, God used me to minister her back into health, and she's doing a lot better right now. When we were in marriage, she struggled with depression. Now she is thriving in her career. She's has lots of friends. She's doing great. And essentially, it's just a call to everybody that I would like to encourage. God died for you. No matter where you are, there is no place where you're at in your life, doesn't matter what you have done, that is too deep for God's hand to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
He still loves you, and he never left you, just how he never left my side.
Well, that is a great reminder, Carlos. You know, and I was thinking about what is it that people need to consider about living intentionally during a time of divorce and recovery. And the number one thing I wrote down is what you just talked about, and that's confession of sin. And it begins with us taking 100% responsibility for ourselves. You know, one of the laws of intentional living is we're never going to heal as long as we're waving the finger in someone else's direction. That doesn't mean other people aren't responsible for some things that have occurred, and we can always play the game of 50-50 or 80-20, but the reality is if we want to heal in our life, like you have in yours, Carlos, it's a matter of confessing our own sins before God, and sometimes even to our spouse, or in your case, your ex-spouse, and ask for forgiveness to be able to have healing. Doesn't mean there's going to be a reconciliation or a restoration of that marriage. Hopefully there can be at least a reconciliation of some level of relationship. But certainly, as long as we harbor that sense that I've taken a position and I'm right and others are wrong, there's a cancer that grows inside of us. And I think the steps you've taken is a healthy one. Okay, my friend, thank you for your call.
Honey, can you run a couple of errands for me?
Where?
The pharmacy, the deli, and the car needs gas.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
That's a lot of places to go. Across town, through town, around town. I wish things were more like the Intentional Living mobile app.
Now I'm really confused.
It's everything Intentional Living, all in one place. I downloaded it from my app store, and it's got links to web resources, podcasts, shortcuts to Intentional Living on Facebook and Instagram.
That's great! Let me look at your phone while you run those errands, hmm?
We can only influence other people if they allow us to. You can only influence your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers. Even on the radio, we can only influence people if they allow us to. If they don't, they turn us off, right? People are making millions of dollars online influencing each other. With a lot of nonsense, I'm sure, some practical, but much of it is questionable.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month, a brand new teaching on circles of control, what we control and what we don't control. You got another circle on the outside of your control circle, the things you do control, your words, your attitude, things you say, the things you do. There's a circle outside of that, and we call that the circle of concern. Stephen Covey wrote about that many years ago. And those are the areas that you have that you can't control, but still, well, you're concerned about your kids, your spouse, the world. And in those areas, we learn every day, Lord, this is in your hands. We trust you for it. And then take responsibility for the things that we're responsible for in our own life. That teaching, brand new, it's available now because of the prayerful and consistent financial support of our members who join us in monthly support. If you could join us today with support, maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month, and say for this next year, I want to stand with you, Randy, and the team. We need several of you to step up and join us as we move into this new year. We live in a difficult time and a upside-down world, but we serve a God of love and a God that is full of great compassion and care. Let's reach more people together. Come join the mission. Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go on over to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Thank you for joining us.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I'm thankful, you know, today I'm remarried and I have a wonderful, amazing husband, so I'm very blessed. And I had four children at the time. They're all almost grown now. And I would say, you know, I'm just the process itself. You know, so many people, and I see this over and over again as I work with divorced people, is they want to replace what's been lost, and they want to replace it fast because it's this open wound, and they're trying to find a way to heal it. So they'll end up medicating on things. They'll end up trying to replace it with people. They'll get in one relationship after another, and I definitely made some of those mistakes. You're afraid. You're sitting there with these kids, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do life, and really, you don't know how to navigate. So some of the things I would say to the women and men out there who are in that place, who've come out of a divorce, is number one is you have to come to the place of acceptance, because it's so hard to realize and accept this is my life now. I mean, I am no longer a married person. I'm now single, and I'm having to deal with dating and all these things. So it's saying, you know what, Lord, I surrender and I relinquish the outcome of my life to you. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand my divorce. I don't understand why I'm here, but I'm here. And so I accept that, Lord, and I surrender that to you. And now I want to work on me.
That's Michelle Borquez. If you want to hear the whole program, my discussion with her on healing and wholeness, go ahead and get to it at theintentionallife.com. And I think there's a link right there. It'll take you right to
that archived broadcast. And she commented about time and trying to fill a wound with a lot of stuff. And one of the points I make in my five steps for intentional recovery is guard your heart. Stay out of, you know, that immediate kind of another romantic relationship for an extended period of time, and maybe for a lifetime, given the situation that you're in and so on. But this idea of jumping from one thing to another or one person to another is so unhealthy, and we intuitively understand that, but experientially you need to have accountability to really guard your heart and give time for healing to get to the core issues of what's been going on in your own life. Okay, Connie joins us in Kansas, from Kansas, rather. Connie, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Hi.
Hi there. Appreciate your call. What's your comment or question today?
I'm not divorced yet. I've been separated from my husband for about a year. Before we separated, I had been disappointed in our marriage for quite a while, and he had had a long-standing pornography addiction. And he would go back and forth and, you know, seemingly get better, and I think I also noticed the relational things that go along with that addiction and his withdrawals and inability to do the relational things for our family. But I was trying to make it work at all costs, and we have five children, and I came from a broken home. He came from a broken home, so I was completely committed to the marriage at all costs. And I think eventually, you know, the cost was denial of where he was really at, and it took a crisis, a betrayal, to really push me to look at what it would look like and what needed to happen for us to have a healthy marriage. And so right now I'm in a place of having to be strong and to give tough love so that if he can recover and if our marriage can be saved, what that would really look like.
Yeah.
And defining that for myself so that I don't lower my expectations, and that right now, honestly, even though I'm not divorced, I'm looking at just what it would take to, you know, to define myself so that I don't go through the whole process of
part of what I hear you saying, Connie, is looking for your identity too, and who are you as a person, and understanding that. And of course, our identity is a oneness, a unity of, as a Christian woman, who am I? And, you know, it's out of that confidence that you have in Christ. It's not a cockiness, but it's a confidence that says, hey, listen, if we're going to have this marriage work, there are certain reasonable expectations, not perfection, but certain reasonable expectations. The question is that his same desire? Is that his, based on his actions?
It seems to be, but now we have to define that through actions rather than intentions.
Yeah, exactly. And, that's the living part of intentional, right?
Yeah. And so now I'm just, it almost seems, you know, I guess my call is somewhat, you know, that I think I was settling in, even in my marriage, because I was afraid of divorce, but now it's upon me. There has to be health, you know, and recovery, you know, beyond divorce, if it comes to that.
Well, but Connie, we're advocates here that God is a God of restoration, and we see healing in marriage. Sometimes it occurs, sometimes it doesn't. It takes two people who are cooperative enough to say they want to make this work, and as Christians, submitting under the power of the Holy Spirit to make it work. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it does not. And you get gun-shy, as they call it. You know, you've had that go off in your face, as it were, and now you're wondering, is it true? Is his behavior really representative of his heart? Is he really changed? You don't want to get into a situation again where you're going to be hurt. But, you know, life is full of that in terms of decisions that we make. And it's understandable when we walk into a marriage, let's face it, on the day we get married, most of us have high levels of trust. We have no reason not to. And if they have had, they've been resolved in our minds. And then all of a sudden there's a break in trust. And that's why this is such a huge issue. When there's a trustworthiness issue in a marriage and a person can't be trusted at the core issues of the vows that are taken, these kinds of calls occur. And Connie's call is representative of many hearts today, many lives, many, many people who are struggling today. And I think it's a reminder that every day we need to be intentional in making our marriage work.
Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages and our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, one of the things they say in that lesson is, you know, we control less than we'd like, but we control more than we think we do. And within this circle, I call it the 3-foot rule, I'm responsible and I do have control over what I think, what I say, my emotions, what I eat, what I don't eat, and where I go and my habits. I'm responsible. And beyond that, the circle of concern where there's a whole world that needs Christ. Here's the thing. When we learn to submit to Christ, know that ultimately He's in control of our lives, and lean not on our own understanding, as the scripture says, acknowledge Him and He's going to direct our paths, and we step out with confidence and make the next right best decision, be intentional, develop the daily habits, declutter our lives, beautiful things can happen. That's the message of intentional living. And as we're wrapping up the show today, thinking about those of you who've been through divorce and you know the difficulty and the pain, God is with you and He's going to continue to guide you. And those of you struggling today in your marriage, trust Him, be intentional, do that next right one thing. We're here for you. And we're made possible here at the ministry because of the generous, faithful, prayerful support of so many people. So thank you for supporting the ministry. I'm Dr. Randy. For Stephen, Jennifer, and the rest of the team, thank you for being a part of the show today. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living, which is the ministry of Intentional Life Media.